This message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. At the end, we will give information about how to contact us to receive a copy of this or other messages.
May I ask you, please, if you will, turn with me to Psalm 119. And we will take the section Beth, namely the second section from verse 9 to verse 16. That will be our text. And as I mentioned this morning, particularly to you young people, I am going to preach a sermon to you. I am doing so because verse 1 states, how can a young man cleanse his way? That is the question. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young woman cleanse her way? How can a young person keep pure in an impure world? How can a young person be upright, be truthful, be sincere, be transparent, be honest in a crooked world? How? How can that be, my young friends? You are young. You are smart. There will be pressures brought to bear upon you to forsake the right way, to do the wrong thing, peer pressure, the pressures of your friends at school, at college, in society, wherever God may place you. Your lifestyle will be different to them, and therefore they will aim at pressurizing you. So you need to conform to their way of doing and saying things, to the practice of their lives. However crooked, however displeasing, they will make you feel small and little because you are not in the mess with them. The question is, how can you keep yourselves pure in this generation as young men, as young women, as young people? That is the question. Now, let us seek to answer the question. The answer comes in the very word of verse 1. Look at it again. How can the young man keep his way? His way is described as his way, his mode of life, his living. How can he keep that? And look carefully that this way of living is personal. It's not something abstract. How can a young man keep his way? The person is deliberately, willfully seeking to live in a particular way. This is repeated for us in verse 101. Look at it in verse 101. The same language is repeated. Look at 101. Look at the language. Look carefully. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Why? That I may keep your word. So here then is the way. It is broad before you. It is open before you. All your peers, all your friends are doing the things that their comrades, their friends want them to do. Speaking the language they want them to speak. Living the immoral life they are living. They are putting pressure upon you to walk in the way with them. The challenge is this. Are you going to fight against it? That's the question. Are you going to say, no, I am not going to walk in this particular way. I am going to walk in God's way. I will restrain my feet. I will keep my mind. I will keep my heart. I will keep my soul. I will keep my virginity. I will keep my purity. I will keep all that I have because I belong to God. Young people, you will face it. You will meet it. Pressures will be placed upon you to conform to a way of life that is foreign to your Bible. Remember, by ourselves, we can't do that. But by the help of God. But look at what the psalmist says again. That way is radical. You say that way is radical. The person has to make a choice. It's a radical choice. It's a choice between love and hate. It's a decision you must make which will reveal whether you are in light or whether you are in darkness. Whether you belong to the devil or whether you belong to God. Whether you belong to the liberals or whether you belong to the Puritans. Whether you go by the Bible or whether you go by the novel. Look at verse 4. Look at the language of verse 4. Look at how you're going to keep it. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, here is the test. It's a question between love and hate. So look at what you hate. I hate every false way. Know what that means? I hate lying. I hate cheating. I hate deceiving. I hate crookedness. I will walk in the way of God. Young people, you are going to face it. Some of you are already facing it. Wherever you are found in this world, your faith will be challenged and you will have to make a choice. It is a choice between love and hate. Look at verse 128 again. Look at the language in verse 128 again. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things. Look at this. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. And I hate every false way. All God's word concerning all things. You must know God's word. You must seek to apply yourself to God's word. You must read God's word. Jesus Christ prays in this way to his Father. Father, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. Now, you got to ask yourself, am I going to walk in the way of God, in the way of Bible, in the way of truth, in the way to heaven, or in the way to hell, in the way of Jesus Christ, or in the way of the world? How am I going to walk? Where am I going to walk? Why am I going to walk? What am I going to say? It's a decision every young person needs to make. Daddy can't make it for you. Mommy can't make it for you. Your pastors can't. You have to decide. What and how you are going to live in a generation that is atheistic, rebellious against God, you have to decide. And you must take your stand. Furthermore, the way also is practical. It's a living, practical way. Why do I say this? Look at verse 15. Look at how it is put for us in verse 15. Look at the practicality of it. The person makes a decision, and that decision is a noble one. Look at the noble decision. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. You see that? I will meditate your precepts and contemplate your ways. Why? Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your law. It is very easy, my young friends, in the midst with your peers and with them, they're about your age, you're doing the same thing. The Bible is not saying you must be an odd girl or an odd boy, or if you like, an odd bod. Some people give you that impression. Christianity is something dowdy, something ancient. There is no life and there is no vigor. They are crippled. They are under certain pressure and they are twisting here and twisting there. It's not attractive. No, that's zombie. Don't go for that. God wants you young girls to be his daughters. And that means you got to dress well. You got to carry yourself well. You got to conduct yourself well. So when you are seen and spoken to, the things that emit from your mouth are the things that will draw respect. Create respect. It may annoy certain, but keep to it. You see? Keep into it. And God will honor you, will vindicate you, will bless you. You see that? And parents, sometimes, unnecessarily, we encourage our children. Say, well, they are young people. They must be allowed. They must be allowed to do 1,001 things except sin. But if we encourage them in the way of sin, how can they then keep God's way in this one, in this manner? The person who makes the decision is a noble decision. He meditates or she meditates upon God's word. You think of it. You get it into your bloodstream. Look at the language of verse 78. Look at how it is put for us in verse 78 again. Let those who fear you, look at, turn to me. Those who know your testimonies. Why? Look at why. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You see that? Young people, you must develop a mentality, a way of behavior, a way of speaking, a way of living that is doctrinal. Oh, how I love God's Bible. I will read it all the time. I will sit under it all the time. I will go to church all the time. I will be with Christian people all the time. As far as God is helping me, I will seek to live to his praise. Why? Oh, let it be down below. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. He has heard my prayer. He has given me life. He will give me strength. Therefore, I will walk in the ways of the Lord all the days of my life. You say, well, that's dramatic. Yes, it is, but it's right. You see? And young people, in our world, we want to see you have to be the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. Because there's so much rottenness, so much decay. You need to be salt and preserve your testimony. Preserve for the glory and praise of God and for your own soul's good. So, that's the question. How Can the young man cleanse his way? But then, within that question, look at the verse again. Look at the language of the verse again. It is said, how shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, or by keeping your word. The question is, the question being asked, how can young people today, or how can you as young people today, keep your way pure, keep your way clean? Or to put it differently, how can you in this age and day and generation, among where God in His providence has placed you, how can you be light in the midst of darkness? How can a young person be that? How is it in terms of the language that is spoken, in terms of the behavior practice? It doesn't mean you have to cut yourself off completely. No. But it means you need to have certain standard as those who profess faith according to God's word. And the psalmist answers the question by guarding your life according to God's word. That's what verse 9 is saying. By taking heed according to your word. The word I have translated it, guarding, taking heed, means I must keep, I must watch, I must preserve, I must be like a kind of watchwoman, a watchman, a watchgirl, a watchboy, because there is danger on the horizon. I must be on the alert. And it is very interesting. The first time that word appears in the Old Testament is found all the way back in Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, where God said to Adam to guard the garden, to keep the garden, to look after the garden, to be a watchman. And God is saying, you can only keep yourself clean and pure, your mind, your heart, your eyes, your ears, your whole being, by the sanctifying truth of His word. See that? This is your greatest safety. Your safety valve is knowledge of the Bible. Without it, you won't be able to. God has commanded all of us who claim to be His to be diligent in His word. Look at how He puts it in verse 4. Look at the language of verse 4. Look at the language God puts for us. That will enable us to understand a little bit more of what God is saying. Look at verse 4. You have commanded us to do what? To keep your precepts diligently. In other words, we cannot flip-flop. It is either we keep God's commandment, we keep His word, and we will reap the great benefits of it, or if we do not, we will reap the consequences of it. But to keep that word, we have to be active. Look at verse 5. Look at it. Look at verse 5 again. Look at how passionate the man is. Look at how passionate the woman is. Look at how passionate the boy is. Look at how passionate the girl is. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. What is happening here? There is a longing. There is an urge. There is a desire. There is a burning to do what pleases God. Oh, that I had a heart. Or to put it in the word of Wesley, oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels the blood so freely shed for me. Young people, you need conviction. You need to be convinced that what the Bible is teaching is true. If you are not convinced of it, forget it all. You just go and live like a deer and hunt each other. And do your own thing. But remember this. God is an archer. And he will throw a curb in your way. You will stumble on it. And you can ruin yourselves for life. I don't want that for you. But if you obey God and you desire, you say, oh, how I love God's Bible. Ah. When you become Christians, look at verse 57. Look at how the psalmist puts it in verse 57. Look at his language. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said, I will keep your words. What is he doing? He is entering into a covenant with God. Or he is making a promise to God. I will keep your commandment. Now, I'm not saying you must simply rush willy-nilly and begin to do things. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, amen, is this. You need to have goals, specific goals. Principles, marks that you are not prepared to transgress, you are not prepared to tread over, because you know if you tread over the line, that will be it. Young people, God has placed you in a church that is biblical, that is healthy, where you have healthy elders, healthy deacons, healthy members, healthy persons. Do not dismiss them. Value them. Appreciate them. Regard them as gold and silver. You say, what? My mom? My dad? They may not mean much to you now. But the time will come when they will meet. The time will come when there will be a massive lot to you. And to this day, I thank God for my dad, even though he wasn't a Christian. When Mom died, I was a wee boy. Dad took us up as boys. And his desire was to train us, to help us to grow up, to be boys, to grow up, to become men of principle. But that's cussed. Nevertheless, here he was, on the boat, directing, trading. Sometimes the waters were rough, but he was determined to lead us, to guide us as children. And we develop such an affection for Dad. He had lots of common grace. Even though he was not a Christian man. You see, this is the principle, my young friends. This is what the psalmist is saying. Oh, how I love your law. And furthermore, there will be an element in the psalmist. He wants to do what the Bible says. Look at how he puts it in verse 106. Look at how he puts it in verse 106. He wants to do what the Bible says. He says this. I have sworn and confirmed, what? He's taken an oath that I will keep your righteous judgments. What is he saying? He's saying, I have sworn by Almighty God. I have made a covenant with God. that by your grace, Almighty God, I want to be a godly man. I want to be a godly woman. I want to grow up to be a godly mother, to be a godly father, to be a godly citizen. Wherever you have placed me, oh, Almighty God, this is my covenant with you. Please, please keep me until the last day. Never be afraid, never be ashamed to pray frankly to God. Don't use all archaic phrase that you have picked up. Just go to God, just like the prodigal. When he came home, he didn't go into any face and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned before you. I'm not fit to be called your son. Make me a servant. That's all you wanted to be. But the father knew better. The father got him as he rebelled. He went away. He was not going to do his father's work. He had lots of money, lots of girlfriends, lots of other things. Oh, he had Mary. He enjoyed himself. He squandered his money. And you know what happened for a Jew? He went to a pig's farm to feed hogs. That was unclean under the law. And he envied the pig in its mess. Then he came to himself. He said, wait a minute. The servants in my father's house have so much to eat and drink. But here I am starving. You know what he had to do? He swallowed his pride. He trampled upon his stubbornness. He dismissed his unbelief. He got courage. I will go and to my father. And he framed a group of words. And I will say to him, Father, I am not worthy. I do not deserve to be called your son. All I deserve is that you should make me one of your servants. To clean the yard. To look after the donkeys. That's all I'm fit for. And he had the courage and he went. But oh, his father said no. When his father hugged him. And kissed him. The father didn't say, well, son, okay, your body odor is a little too strong. You go and have a shower first. You go and get cleaned up first. And then when you are cleaned up, I'll meet you outside the shower. And then we can have a little chat. I can't hug you now. No, no, that would put him off. In his stink, in his smell, in his ugliness, in his parted hair, you name it, he had it, he was ugly as a hog. And his father ran and embraced him and kissed him. This my son, mwah, mwah, was dead and is alive. Mwah, mwah. This my son was lost and is found. Let us make merry. Kill the fatted calf. Call the neighbors, call the musician, wash him, dress him, put the best robe on him, put a ring on his hand, put lovely sandals on his feet, and let us make merry, for this my son was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive. You see, that's how God deals with us. And parents, when our children have sinned, and probably we feel grief, and they have violated all our principles. You know, we can act like the elder brother. We just dismiss them. That's not good. We feel pain, yes. We feel hurt, yes. We feel it all, yes. We feel embarrassed, yes. We feel ashamed, yes. But look beyond it. Is it a precious soul? And who knows? Their rebellion against God and against truth, and their return, God may use to make us better men, better women, better mothers, better fathers, better teachers of our sons and of our daughters of God's way. See? Do not be like the elder brother who would not come in. The father pleaded with him. Whether he came in later or not, we do not know. But young people, do not bring your parents into that grief. Do not afflict them.
They truly love you. That is why you are here. That is why your mama carried you for so many months. Your mama gave birth to you. You have been looked after. You have been fed and cleansed and educated and brought. Here you are in a church where you are shielded. You are preserved. The word of God, the truth of God, the people of God, the day of God, the things of God. Please, please, whatever you do, don't turn away from God. It's a horrible world out there. God wants you to walk with Him, to follow Him all the days of your life. So when you are where your Christian parents are, you will look back and you will thank God and you will train your sons, your daughters to walk in the way of God. And God will give you the privilege to see your sons and daughters come to faith. So my friends, this is what the simple things I am calling on you to do. Now, the question is, how can we do all of these things then? How will we know and other people know that we are walking with God? The psalmist says, I'll tell you. And the psalmist says, look, let me give you one or two marks. And I want you to take these marks carefully. They are the pulse of a spiritual life. Take it carefully. Is that first? The first mark is godly living. Look at verse 7. Look at the first mark. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. I will praise you, how? With an upright heart. Why? When I have learned your righteous judgments. You see, my friend, it is a mark. Praise. Gratitude, thankfulness to God now. Do you thank God for your elders? Do you thank God for this church? Do you thank God for all the privileges you have? Do you thank God for mom and dad? Do you thank God that you have a home, you have an education, or you can carry on your education, you are surrounded, you are not worried, you can come home and have your meal? Do you thank God for all of these? Examine your hearts. Have you been thankful to God? Thankful to God for putting you in this church. There are many churches around the country. What do? They are gathered and they are engaged in a shenanigans. You know what is a shenanigans? A kind of mess where you don't achieve anything. But here, you have men of God, women of God, others to teach you. Are you thankful? Are you thankful that you have the Bible, you can read for yourself, you can meditate upon it? Are you thankful? Are you thankful when you come to church? Then what is on the board? You will sing God's praise and you'll have someone always in the pulpit preaching God's word. Do you pray, Lord, may it ever be, and grant unto us men throughout all our days. Bless our elders. Bless Pastor Borgman. Bless the elders. Bless the deacons. Bless the members. Oh, God, make this place a bastion for truth. Young people, don't be afraid to pray like this. That's the first mark of your obedience. Thankfulness to God for what He has given you and for where He has placed you. Second mark is obedience to God. Look at verse 34. Look at verse 34. Obedience to God. Look at what the psalmist is saying. Look at his obedience. Look at his language. Note carefully. Look at what he's saying. Give me understanding. Why? and I will keep your law. And indeed, I shall observe them with my whole heart. You see what he's praying for? Lord, I do not yet understand all the implications. I do not yet understand all the implications of what Pastor Blaise is saying. I am in a daze. But Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Clarify on my understanding. Illuminate my mind. Illuminate my heart. Illuminate my soul. Illuminate my whole being, that I may understand and do, that I will bring glory to you. Because the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And this is it, young people. Do you want God? Do you want to enjoy God? Then glorify Him. Obey Him. Do what He commands. And then you will enjoy God. You will be at ease. Wherever He has placed you, whatever He has called you to do, you'll be at ease. And you thank God. So here is the other mark. But take another mark. Take another mark. The other mark is you need knowledge. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. Open my eyes. Why? That I may see wondrous things out of your law. To some people, the Bible is sheer boredom. Why read a book like this? It doesn't make sense. And they will think that you have lost your brain. You are a cracker. Because you believe the Bible. You mean, you don't believe this book? It's fairy tales. Oh no. It is God's mind. What are you talking about, God's mind? Yes. It is God's mind. All that He has to say is written here. It is His last will and testament. When your parents, let's say your parents die, they make a will, their last will and testament, and they will leave you a goat or a frog or what have you. And that's the last will and testament you inherit. You'll inherit more than that. But it's something you have to, you are thrilled with. Here God is saying, my son, my daughter, here is my last will and testament. Love it. Read it. Admire it. Meditate on it. Cherish it. When you can't sleep, turn the light on. Read it. Read it. There are so many stories, so many encouragements, so many motives, so many helps. Read it. It will clarify itself. It will clarify yourself. It will clarify your mind. Comparing one verse with the other, one passage, it will clarify itself. You will read, and you won't be dense. You won't be left in amaze. Oh, my young friends, value your Bible. Boys and girls, read it all the time. Do not put it away. Cherish it. Wherever God has placed you, love your Bible. Get up in the morning to read it, to read a portion of it. And then when you have read it, pray it back to God. See? And therefore, you are building, you are building, you are building, you are growing from more to more. When Jesus was 12 years of age, He went into the temple. And He sat among the doctors of law. To them, they thought He was a wee boy. And He was asking them all kinds of questions. They marveled at the things that proceeded out of His mouth. But His parents were careful to teach Him what the Passover says. So therefore, every year they celebrated the Passover. Why? Because God says so. And therefore, the opportunity came to meet with the big boys, the big ones.
And there he sat among them, learning from them. Never be ashamed of adults who believe the Bible. You see? And gravitate towards them. Ask them questions. Get on the phone. Send a text. Call your pastors. I'm reading such and such a thing. Text him. But I can't understand it. Send a text. He'll send one back. Send an email. He'll send one back. Explain it. Your elder. That's what we have to do. In Moses' day, they didn't have that. In the days of the apostles, they didn't have that. They had to travel miles. But you have it all here. All in a little thing you call a cell phone. You can do anything in that. So call them, tell them, ask them, because God has given it to you for your good. You can have Bible on it, get Bible on it, and when you are going to school, plug in. And people think you can't do a good jump up, but then you are listening to God's word. Oh, young people, you are in a privileged position that some of us were not when you were growing up. Some of us could barely write the alphabet, but now you have everything at your fingertips. Make good use of the Bible. Read it. Your Sunday school, morning worship, afternoon worship, family prayers. Read it. Read it. Read it. And say to God, "Oh Lord, how I love your word. Increase my love for it. Increase my desire for it. Open my mind to it. Open my heart to it. Write it upon the fleshy tables of my heart that I may never, ever depart from you." And begin tonight. Begin this afternoon. Begin to read. Get a good translation that you can understand. And the translations you have are good translations now. And oh, my young friends, this is one thing some of us regret. We did not have as we were growing up. I didn't see a Bible until I was 23, 24 years of age. I didn't know what a Bible was about. But when a musician gave me one, then, trying to read it, God helped me to understand it. And I had a good pastor. It was a large congregation, probably twice your size. I used to sit at the front where these guys are sitting because I didn't want to be disturbed. And just sat there and took all that he was saying. He was a brilliant pastor, a brilliant preacher. And that's where I learned how to interpret the Bible. How to understand the Bible. I knew what I did. I took his sermons, I took notes, and during the week, I went around preaching it. Telling everybody what the Bible was saying. He said, "Well, we don't believe it." "Oh, you don't believe it, but my pastor says it." "Oh, yeah. Because that's what my pastor says. And he got it from the Bible. So the Bible must be right. And if the Bible is right, my pastor is right. And you are wrong." "Oh, yes, you tell them frank." And you'll think you were crazy, so what's the business? Because they said to Jesus, "He's crazy, he's mad." So Jesus says, "Join with me then. Join with the crazy crowd." So young people, this is what I would say to you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. This, said Christ, is the first commandment, and the second is like it. And may the Lord bless you. May he bless you as young people. May he bless you in your reading. May he bless you in your education. May he bless you in your living. May he bless you now. May he bless you in the future as you seek to have your life all controlled by his word. And you won't be disappointed for it. And may the blessing of God be upon your school, be upon the church, be upon your classes, be upon your teachers, be upon your deacons, be upon your elders, be upon your parents, be upon your friends. And blessings of God on the right and on the left may overtake you, that you may grow when we are gone, that you will grow a generation of men and women. It is the people who do know their God who will do great things. So know your God and walk with Him and desire to serve Him all the days of your life. And may the blessing of God the Father, the blessing of God the Son, the blessing of God the Holy Spirit be upon you, be upon your family, be upon your church from this day forth and forevermore, to the praise and glory of God the Father, of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. To receive a copy of this or other messages, call us at area code 775-782-6516 or visit our website, gracenevada.com.